pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Amy. Now you're going to read God's word for us, and then Steve will come and open up that for us.
Yep. So if you don't have a Bible, just put your hand up and they'll be handed around to you. And we are turning to Isaiah 32. This is on page 579. Okay, so we're reading from Isaiah 32, verses 1 through to 8. See, a king will reign in righteousness, and rulers will rule with justice. Each one will be like a shelter from the wind and a refuge from the storm. Like streams of water in the desert and the shadow of a great rock in a thirsty land. Then the eyes of those who see will no longer be closed, and the ears of those who hear will listen. The fearful heart will know and understand, and the stammering tongue will be fluent and clear. No longer will the fool be called noble, nor the scoundrel be highly respected. For fools speak folly, their hearts are bent on evil. They practice ungodliness and spread error concerning the Lord. The hungry they leave empty, and from the thirsty they withhold water. Scoundrels use wicked methods, they make up evil schemes to destroy the poor with lies, even when the plea of the needy is just. But the noble make noble plans, and by noble deeds they stand. And the second reading is in 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 to 17, page 960. 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 to 17. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that is in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning, friends. It is such a joy to be back with you this week. If we haven't met, my name is Stephen, or Steve, as most people call me. I was a student minister here at Wente 10 years ago, and it's so wonderful to see so many old faces here. I'm so glad you guys are still here, but it's also wonderful to see so many new faces. My new friends, Uncle David, Ebelson, Jenna, Shirla, it's been a great pleasure to meet you. And for those of you I haven't met yet, I'm really looking forward to it. I want to say thank you so much, first of all, for the last 8 years of partnership. And since I finished at college and went to Port Macquarie to take up the uni ministry there, as a church, you've been praying for and financially supporting our ministry. And so it's a real pleasure to bring some of the fruits of your investment to visit you this week. We've had a really great time. I want to say thank you to our hosts, Jenny Lothian. Thank you, Jenny. Gav and Lisa for letting us use your house even when you were in another country. Thank you. Natasha and Gary and Sue, we are so grateful to God for your hospitality. Thanks also, Catherine and Julie Price, for feeding us. Oh my goodness, those cupcakes, Julie. Thank you very much. Now, Christmas, it's a time for celebration, isn't it? It's a time for singing joyful Christmas carols. And boy, have we sung a lot of Christmas carols this week. It's a time for decorations, for special food and family and fun. But why? Why do we do these things at Christmas? Because Christmas is when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Christmas is when we remember that Jesus came into the world. Christmas is Jesus' birthday. So on Christmas Day, make sure you say, "Happy birthday, Jesus." And all the decorations and presents and fun and food and the tree, it's all to celebrate Jesus. Christmas is when we remember that Jesus came into the world. But why? It's those questions that kids love to ask, isn't it? But why? Why did Jesus come into the world? Well, that was the subject of our Bible passage that Amy just read for us. They come from the book of 1 Timothy, which is a letter from a Christian elder named Paul to another young Christian elder named Timothy. You'll probably find it helpful to have that open in front of you. If you've already closed your Bible, that's okay. It's page 960. And this is the advice of an elder to a young leader. And as part of the advice, Paul the elder wrote about why Jesus came into the world at Christmas. Take a look at sentence 15. Gary, where did that remote go? Someone's taken, David stole it. Thank you, David. Hopefully, how to sing a Christmas. Okay, there's the verse on the screen. Wow, that formatting has gone crazy. Well, let's forget that and you can look in your Bible instead. Verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Can you see what it says there? Why did Jesus come into the world at Christmas time? He came to save sinners. In this letter, the elder Paul reminds Timothy, and he reminds us too, that Christmas is all about Easter. Oh my goodness, I thought we were talking about Christmas today. Jesus came into the world to save us by dying on a cross in our place. He was born at Christmas in order to die at Easter. And when it's Christmas time, we like to focus on the baby because everybody loves a baby. We like to sing about the baby. Babies are wonderful. And it doesn't matter how funny looking they are. We all think that they're beautiful. We like to think about Jesus as a baby. But when we think about Jesus, when we talk about Jesus, when we sing about Jesus, Easter is always in the background, or at least it should be. Because you can't understand Jesus apart from his cross. Because that's what Jesus came to do. He came to die on a cross. Jesus came into the world to save. Or in Jesus' own words, he came to give his life as a ransom for many. Christmas is when we remember that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He was born at Christmas to die at Easter. Christmas is all about Easter. Which makes this picture I want to show you strangely right. Let's jump past that. There we go. What on earth is Santa doing on a cross? I don't know if you've ever seen this image before. It does the rounds on the internet most Christmases. You might have seen, there's a few like it. It's so wrong and yet strangely right. This is a digital artwork, but apparently this actually happened in Japan just after World War II, or at least that's the story. I don't know if it's really true. Doesn't matter, does it? Don't need to let that get in the way of a good story. So the story goes, there was a Japanese shopkeeper who wanted to appeal to Western customers. And so he decided to put a Christmas display in his window. But Christmas is a foreign holiday, and he wasn't quite sure how the pieces went together. He knew it had something to do with Santa, because there's always Santa at Christmas, and he knew it had something to do with Jesus, and the most important thing about Jesus is the cross, and so somehow those things just got mixed together, and Santa's on the cross. So close, and yet so disturbingly wrong, isn't it? And at the same time, strangely right, because Christmas is when Jesus came into the world, and he came to die for our sins on a cross at Easter. Christmas is all about Easter. It's all about the cross. So somehow, this bizarre image of Santa on a cross is actually an excellent image of Christmas, I think. At Christmas, we celebrate that Jesus came into the world to save by dying on a cross. But who did Jesus come to save? There's the next of our annoying three-year-old questions. Why did he come? He came to save. Who did he come to save? Did Jesus come for people who have their lives all together? For people who are happy and healthy and wealthy? For people who live in a good suburb, who own their own home, whose lives are good and well-ordered? Did he come for religious people? No. Have a look at sentence 15 in your Bible again. Sentence 15. I'm going to try the slide again. Let's see if it works. That's no better, is it? Oh, well. That's even worse. Let's just get rid of that. Sentence 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Christ Jesus came into the world at Christmas to save sinners. He didn't come for good religious people. He came to save people whose lives were a mess. He came to save sinners. Now, a sinner is a technical jargon Christian word. It's a word that if you're not a Christian, you probably don't know what it means. A sinner is just someone who sins. Oh, great definition, Steve. You've used the word in the definition itself. Sin is when we decide that we know better than God. It's when we decide that we should be on top and that God should be on the bottom. Actually, it's even simpler than that, because you don't have to make a decision. You can just act like you're on top and God is on the bottom. Reality is, we don't always make decisions about things. We just do stuff. Have you noticed that? You do something and you find yourself, you catch yourself doing it, you're like, why am I doing this? Well, we do this with God all the time. We put ourselves on top of him without even realizing that we're doing it. Sin is when we act like we know better than God, like we are on top and God is not. It can be deliberate or it can be an accident. Christ Jesus came into the world at Christmas to save sinners, bad people, people who don't have their lives all together, people whose relationships are in a mess, people who don't always do the right thing, people who haven't treated God like he deserves, bad people. Jesus came to save sinners. And the guy who wrote this letter, the elder Paul, do you know he actually wrote more than half of the New Testament? Of all the books about Jesus, Paul wrote more than half of them. Well, Paul offers himself as an example of a sinner. Christ Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I, Paul, am the worst. That's a pretty big claim, isn't it? Was this Paul really the worst person to ever live? Well, perhaps in terms of pure, wicked, evil deeds, maybe there are a few people out there in history who are worse than Paul. But sin is acting like you know better than God. And if that's what the word means, then there is nobody who did that worse than Paul. Especially because he should have known better. Paul was a Jewish religious extremist. We hear those words and we usually think Muslim, but Paul was a Jew. He was a terrorist before there were terrorists. He was raised and educated as a Jewish Pharisee. He took the Torah very, very seriously. He was a very religious man. And so he should have recognized Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, the promised king that he and all of the Jews had been waiting for hundreds of years. But he didn't. He rejected Jesus as king. He didn't think that Jesus had died for sin. He didn't think that Jesus was raised from the dead. And so he made it his mission to destroy the Christian community. He searched out followers of Jesus, he threw them in prison, and he did his best to see them executed. He made sure that they paid for their crimes, if you call them that. He was a little bit like a villager in rural India who's worried that their neighbour is not honouring the gods correctly, and so stirs up a mob to burn down their house. It's a bit of an overreaction, isn't it? He's a bit like a keyboard warrior who goes digging through someone's internet past, looking at their Facebook page to see the things they posted 10, 20 years ago to find something that they did wrong so they can get them cancelled. He was a bit like that. In this letter, the elder Paul looks back at who he used to be and he is ashamed. Look at how he describes his past self in sentence 13. Sentence 13. I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. They're strong words, aren't they? Paul didn't think that Jesus was the Christ that God had sent into the world to save sinners. Paul thought he knew better than God. He acted like he was on top and what God wanted was on the bottom. And if we're honest, we're all a little bit like Paul, aren't we? We're all sinners. We think that we should be on top, and we don't always care about what God wants or what he deserves. Now, some of us don't need convincing of this. Some of us know we've stuffed up. Some of us know that we haven't cared enough about who God is and what he wants. But most of us, we like to think we're going okay. Well, if that's you, can I ask you something? Can you honestly say that you are 100% happy with every decision you've ever made? That you don't regret a single choice ever? Of course not. No one can say that. Be honest with yourself. We all make dumb choices from time to time. And usually it's not until it's too late that we realize we've chosen poorly. And yet we keep doing it. We refuse to be honest with ourselves. We keep thinking that we know best and that our choices are the right choices. We keep acting like we're on top and we don't really care what God thinks. This is what the Bible calls sin. We trust our own minds and our own decision-making and we ignore what God thinks. We ignore what God wants. If we're honest, we're all a little bit like Paul. We're all sinners. When someone does the wrong thing, what do we want? We want justice. When someone cuts us off in traffic, we want them to get pulled over by the police for it. When someone pushes ahead of us in line, we want to push them out so that we can be back in our right place in the line. When someone does the wrong thing, we want justice. We want criminals to pay for their crimes. Sinners don't deserve mercy. But Christ Jesus came into the world at Christmas to save sinners like Paul and you and me. Jesus was born at Christmas to die at Easter so that he might save sinners by having mercy on us. Have a look at sentence 16 with me. Actually, I'll go from the one before. I'll go from sentence 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Jesus came to save sinners. He saved Paul, the worst of sinners. And if Jesus had mercy on the worst of sinners, then no one is too bad to save. It doesn't matter how messed up your life is. It doesn't matter what mistakes you've made. Jesus can save you. No one is beyond the reach of his mercy. Kez and I had a strange example of this yesterday. We were out meeting people around the neighborhood. And as we walked down the street, a man without a shirt on, sitting on a mattress, hailed us from his front veranda. Hello! And so I said hello back and kind of struck up a conversation, not realizing that next to him was a full beer and a whole bunch of empties scattered around. And so we kind of wandered over and stood in the shade, and then I realized there was two more men lying on the mattress on their front veranda. It was so hot yesterday, they wisely had taken refuge to get out of their hot house. They were in the shade, they had plenty of hydration. And as we walked away, I was a little bit like, what have I done? Because they said that they would definitely come for carols this afternoon. Now, we've learned that the term definitely doesn't always mean definitely around here. That's been lovely to learn that. Kind of said, what have we done? What have I done? It's my fault. I don't blame Kez. But then we reflected and thought, well, actually, those men need Jesus too. And Jesus came to save people like that. People that we look at them and think, gee, their life's a mess, isn't it? Gee, they need to get their life sorted out. Well, that's exactly the kind of people that Jesus came to save. So I really hope those men do turn up this afternoon. And I hope that we can welcome them and love them in whatever state they're in. Who knows? They'll definitely be here, though. Jesus came to save sinners. He saved the worst of sinners so that we might know that he can and he will save everyone. All you have to do is believe in him, trust in him. He will save you and give you eternal life. So this Christmas, why not give yourself the gift of honesty? Why not sing a song of honesty? Tell the truth about yourself to yourself. Be honest with yourself. Are you a sinner who needs a savior? Do you know that? Do you believe that? Do you want that? Telling yourself the truth actually brings freedom, because it means you don't have to pretend anymore. You don't have to pretend that you make the right decisions all the time. You can, if you're honest with yourself, you can own your mistakes. You can own your failings. It becomes much easier to say sorry, and you can learn from your mistakes and grow from them. Christmas is all about Easter. Christ Jesus came into the world at Christmas to save sinners, even the very worst of sinners. So give yourself that gift this Christmas. Be honest with yourself. Admit that you need a savior and ask Jesus to save you, because he will. It's why he came. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the amazing message of Jesus, that he came at Christmas to die at Easter to save sinners like us. Lord, we thank you that this message has been at work here in Wentworthville for many decades. We praise you that the message of Jesus is good news still. Lord God, would you please keep bringing people here to follow Jesus, to trust him, and to receive eternal life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.